The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to have our conversation, our Monday's conversation with Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. Now, we do have a special guest that we're going to be introducing after our first break. But before we get any further, you know, Dr. Mensink, we were giving away a VIP wristbands to go down to watch the Cowboys and the Rams play. Okay. A scrimmage down in Oxnard. Now, we had one extra set, so I took my grandson Brody down there. And we started talking to this other couple that we knew. I was amazed that they were there. And I think they got tickets from one of the other radio stations in here. I mean, one of the other stations from Alpha. And as we're talking, we mentioned Bakersfield. And the guy standing next to me goes, "I'm from Bakersfield." So I get to talking to him and I ask him, "So how'd you get the tickets?" And he goes, "Well, I listened to this guy on KNZR." And that's how I won him. And I said, "Well, I'm Terry Maxwell." We had a great conversation. But the point of it is that he said, one of the reasons I am so thrilled is because a year and a half ago, after listening to your program, he listens to me just about every day. Yeah. His name is Bill. Bill, hi. He's probably listening right now. On his way home, he listens, and you and I were having conversations, and he thought, "I got to start going to The Practice." Well, he's been going there for quite a while. He told me.
How long?
A year and a half, I believe. He told me his health is as good as it's ever been. He is been doing the one day a week fasting. He's about to graduate into 3 days or three days every month in fasting. And everybody listening around us was like, "Who is this? Who is it? So what about this? What about this?" They wanted to know. So what functionally do we feel so different about going to The Practice? And you get good results from your patients, don't
Terry,
you?
Let's stop. I didn't know you were going to say this, but if you're listening out there, there's good things happening at The Practice. You're not going to fast until you talk to your doctor or talk to somebody. This is not something you do on your own. You have to be ready for it, prepared, and do it the right way. I'm going to have a lot of people in trouble out there.
And you're talking to somebody who's got a racing stripe on his fork. I'm a very fast eater.
Terry, what I thought, COVID is rearing its ugly head, as everybody knows, okay? And I thought today, to start with, this is going to be an interesting, a different program.
Right.
This is going to be a political program. Usually I stay away from politics, as you know me, but...
It's funny, I always stay with it.
But I thought, first of all, we just start, COVID's resurfacing, okay? The Delta variant, all these issues, all right? And I thought, first of all, we'd talk about what we're doing at The Practice, okay? Because just it makes a lot of difference to help this community. Number one, we essentially keep everybody's vitamin D3 level above 80. And we have probably the new thing out about that. We have roughly 300 studies in the last year and a half about COVID and D3 levels. Small studies, 300 patients, maybe a couple thousand. But Quest Labs, which is the second largest lab in the country, looked at almost 5 months ago now, 4 3/4 months ago, published this, 193,000 cases of COVID they looked at in the U.S., all right? This is before the Delta variant was out. And they looked at the vitamin D3 levels and the risk of dying of COVID. And this is what they published. Make a long story short, the higher your D3 level, the lower the risk of dying across all ages, races, and sexes.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And above 80, nobody dies. All right?
Above 80 micrograms per ml.
Yeah.
Not 80 years of age.
No. Okay, that's correct. So the first thing we do, and go see, have your doctor check your blood levels and do it. All right? But the first thing we do is we keep our patient's D3 levels high. All right?
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of neat things happen when your D3 levels above 80. In fact, if it's above 80, all right, the risk of dying goes way down of COVID. Number two, if you take iodide, more than 12 milligrams of iodide, with doing that, your T2 immunity kicks in and the risk of prostate cancer goes to zip. The risk of breast, ovarian, endometrial cancer goes to zip. nobody gets melanomas anymore. A whole bunch of neat things happen when that happens.
Yeah.
All right. And it does a bunch of other things. So we keep their D3 levels up. We give them iodide. We give them a multivitamin that has the correct amount of vitamin K, zinc, vitamin K2, a whole bunch of all these other cofactors.
Selenium.
You know, all these things. All right. So that there's no issues with, as long as they're absorbing properly, I don't have to worry that you have a trace, you know, manganese deficiency or some weird thing. All right. Number three, we have them do two things that we have no idea if it works for COVID-19, but we do have studies in the last, about 19 years ago showing these two things work with for regular coronaviruses. We have them take a teaspoon of honey three times a day.
Raw honey.
Raw honey and a teaspoon of raw garlic three times a day. Because we have studies back then, we don't have any idea if it works for now for COVID, but it again, it's cheap, it's safe, very downside, tremendous upside. Three times a day, because we have studies 19 years ago showing that
the only downside is you just took a bunch of garlic and put it in your mouth, and now you're going to talk to people.
No,
that's
I
the
agree.
Only downside.
I agree. But here's the deal. We know that it helped the regular coronavirus.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And then we have people take 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C twice a day, 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C twice a day. But these things are things you should talk to your doctor about. But here's what we're doing at the practice of the COVID. The cases are spiking. You know, I'm no different. I have 1,000 patients, Terry. You know, now the good thing, I've only lost one, and all my patients are the wrong age group. You know,
yeah.
I don't mean to sound cynical, but most of my patients are the wrong age group. I've only lost one. But here's what, and that guy didn't do as I told him to. All right. But here's what we do for our patients. We now do EKGs of every patient that walks through the door. All right. So that we know that
You got a baseline.
Well, we know that there's no block issues, all right? Rhythm block issues, all right? And we do that for a very special reason, because we tell our patients the minute they're in contact with COVID, they call us, we send in hydroxychloroquine, we give them one a day, 200 milligrams once a day. Mm-hmm. As long as there's no blocks, it's extremely safe, all right? The minute they're test positive, we double that to 200 milligrams and give them ivermectin, all right? And then any breathing troubles, we start with dexamethasone and budesonide breathing treatments, and we've lost one, all right? And he didn't do as we told him to.
Well, and he wasn't under your care at the time that he passed anyway.
That's correct, all right? The other thing that's very interesting, Terry, I mean, 35 years of practicing, I have never seen our patient, everybody's doing what we're telling. I've never seen compliances up here, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that came out that was just in the last 7 weeks was published is what are the risk factors for COVID? Age and obesity. All right? Mm-hmm. That's it, really. Well, this was published. We thought obesity was because of diabetes, metabolic syndrome, all these other issues. The studies show, now this is only one study so far, all right? But this is what it shows. And this is amazing if it's true, and it looks like it will be true. But number one is that only 6%, Terry, of the risk from obesity is secondary to all these other, you know, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, all that. 94% is due to something we had no clue happened. And this is just 7 weeks ago we figured this out, was published. The vitamin D3 that a fat person takes is preferentially absorbed into the fat and doesn't circulate in the body. So they need higher levels of D3 to keep their circulating D3 levels higher. If you correct for that, obesity is not a risk factor.
Okay, so what you would do with somebody who's obese, you'd probably monitor their D3 levels more than you would somebody like me.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha.
But I like things that are cheap, safe, for a little downside, tremendous upside. All right? Now, I have no way, Terry, of knowing if these will help. You know, but again, the downside is small, and hopefully, Lord God willing, that this will help this community down the road.
Right.
But what I wanted to talk about today, and go on, maybe after the break we'll do this, but there's something happening in this county that is greatly affecting, Terry, our healthcare system, and many people have no clue about it and don't realize what impact it's having. And there's something our listeners, you can do to help your fellow men in Kern County.
We'll get
Stay
to that.
Tuned.
We're going to get to that as soon as we come back from this this brief message. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR, AM 1560 and FM 97.7.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
I'm connected all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's what I always listen to. I get the news that matters.
And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Okay, everybody, we are back. We're talking with Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. One of the things that's occurring out there, and I don't know if you put it under burnout, whether you just put it under, it's just the sign of the times, but we're having a nursing shortage, aren't we?
Terry, this is major, all right? And it's all across the country. There's a lot of reasons why. You know, number one, aging population, nurses retiring. Two things that we want to focus today on. Number one is burnout from COVID. People burn out, all right?
Yeah.
Number four is vaccine hesitancy, all right? There's a group of I've had people tell me in Kern County, up to 40% of the RNs are hesitant to getting vaccinated, all right?
They know a lot.
All right? And it doesn't help that we have, you know, statistics from CDC, NIH that 50 to 60% of them don't want to get vaccinated. There's so much fear. I'm not against vaccines, by the way, everybody. I'm not an anti-vaxxer at all. But I want to highlight this problem. 40% of all CNOs, all right, these are people that look after, hire the nurses, all right, in California have said there's considerable impact to great impact of the nursing shortage, all right? Right now, Terry, listen to this. Traveling nurses, that's, you know, these...
Oh, yeah, yeah, they live one place and they... Yeah,
they do a two-week stint here or a six-week stint here during, you know, being an RN or whatever. Traveling RN nurses right now, mm-hmm. on the East Coast, they're paying $200 an hour for working.
I knew I should have gotten my nursing degree.
No, think of,
dang it.
Think of this, Terry. This is crazy, all right?
Well,
I'm not saying we should pay
them. But that's what the market will bear.
Yeah, but this is what is happening, all right?
No.
This shortage first started probably 2014-15. You know, there's people on the web that say, listen, the nursing shortage is not a surprise. COVID was, all right, the surprise. But it's causing a major problem, all right? Last year, before this shortage right now, healthcare employer costs of the staff, nursing, raised 7.6%. Roughly, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a little bit more or less, but now it's going through the roof, all right? And here's what happened, all right? And I say this carefully, but I this sort of came to my attention because I had a very close friend of mine who, over the weekend, ended up having something bad happen, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And is just very bad, and some of the issues came out about nursing shortage. And I went, oh, my gosh, all right? Right now, Terry... 20% of all nurses less than age 30, that's only 20%. But mm-hmm. listen to this. One-third of all these nurses under age 30 plan on quitting within a year. This is terrible.
Maybe we should introduce your guest.
Let's do
it. Because I would really like to hear what Ken Keller has to say about that particular stat right there.
Ken Keller is the CEO, the head of Dignity Memorial. All right? This is a guy that knows what's going on.
Well, let's hope so.
We hope so, yeah.
If he's not, then he's fooling a lot of people.
So, Ken, probably the first thing. Anything we said that's not true?
There is one thing I do want to clarify, and that is the compensation rate that you mentioned of the $200 an hour. That doesn't necessarily go to those traveling nurses. That goes to the traveling nurse company that hires those nurses.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So that rate is basically, I'll say, we're going to the middleman that's keeping a significant amount of it, and then the nurse is somewhere lower than
that. All right. Good. All right.
But to your point, that is very close to the rate that we in Kern County, all the hospitals in Kern County.
By the way, this is not only a big problem, okay? This is all the hospitals, all right? Everybody, this is not just Memorial. This is every hospital in town.
Yeah. Earlier this winter, February time frame, when we were also impacted, that's about the rate that was being paid across the country for these traveler contract nurses. And to your point, Terry, it's the market will bear what the market will bear. And the thing that we're trying to do is get ahead of the curve this time around, so that we the shortage isn't exacerbated by the time we anticipate that we'll have our spike in the surge, which will be later on this fall. Yeah.
Well, you know, right now, from what I understand, Memorial has something like 100 beds, or is that Dignity? 100 beds in town. We can't staff because of nurses.
Between ourselves and Mercy, maybe not quite that many, but easily somewhere in the 60.
This is terrible.
It's not just the hospitals. You talked about restaurants, where you know restaurants
name the industry.
Sorry, we can't seat anybody over in that area because we can't find people to come to work. I mean, is that kind of what the problem is? That are there nurses here in Kern County that aren't being nurses because they're just for one reason or another, and maybe they just need to take that next 2 weeks off so that they can get revitalized and come back to work?
There are. And I'm going to extrapolate that to we're talking nurses, but bring that out to care providers.
Sure.
That means nurses. That means techs. That means respiratory therapists.
Respiratory therapists.
Pharmacists.
You name, everything. Yes, sir. You name the specialty care provider within a hospital or healthcare setting. And that is pretty much consistent across the board. And that is, number one, there are care providers that are no longer working in their initial field for some reason or another. Either they're retired, they got burnt out, they want to take a break, they had a child and they're taking some time off or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. That is one of the things that we're trying to solve for. Secondly is specific to nurses and therapists. California had the worst shortage across any state in the country.
Oh, my gosh.
Believe it or not, the San Joaquin Valley had the worst rate shortage of any of the counties.
It's getting worse all the time.
Within California. So, you know,
Why is that? I mean, I would think that Los Angeles would have, I mean, because there's no police escort that's going to take you to the hospital and home, so.
There's not, but the difference is, you know, I say it this way. Pick a city. Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, Houston, Dallas.
San Diego.
It's almost as sexy as Bakersfield.
Yeah.
The thing that we constantly are selling is Bakersfield is a wonderful place to live, to grow a family, to work, in the sense of community that we have. And, you know, so we're trying to bring
Living in Los Angeles, move to Bakersfield.
Come to Bakersfield.
Triple house. Just as much.
Three times the house.
Half the cost.
Half the cost.
And you have a neighborhood and a community within which you live, and you don't have to travel 45 minutes to go 3 miles from work from one to the other. So, you know, that aside, the biggest thing that we as a healthcare community, and in this case, all the hospitals, are trying to make sure that we have the capability that the nurses need, the resources that they need, that they feel supported, that they're getting their opportunities as well to impact the care for the providers, for the patients they're taking care of, and know that what they're doing is very meaningful to the community. We know, regardless of the forecast, we know that from now through the end of the calendar year is going to be a very, very interesting and challenging time for us.
Well, you can't predict. You can't predict what's going to happen. You just can't.
You can't. But what you do is, if you look at trends and everything else, you know something kind of bad is coming.
Right.
The question is, how bad is it going to be? And with all the planning and forecasting and preparatory efforts that we're taking underway, is, as a lot of people say, we're preparing for the worst but hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just, for everybody listening out here, let's just. Say one thing. It's not only RNs, it's all nursing, all ancillary things like x-ray techs, respiratory techs. It's all the shortage. It's not only that. So if you're out there and you have one of these skills,
even if you're retired at this point, you'd love to see them come back
to help
and
your community,
pull some hours.
It's time to think about coming back. All right. Call up Memorial or any hospital, but call up. I was going to say begging. That's not the right word. but you can.
I ask Ken how well he begs. So
help so much our community
as much as he can.
You know, the good thing about it is we all know that the need is there, and we all are working to be flexible as we can to be able to accommodate even partial shifts, as you were teasing, working from 6 to noon or whatever it might be. So the healthcare providers here in the community are trying to figure out ways that we can accommodate part-times,
sure.
temporary, whatever it might be, saying I'm willing to work 3 days a week. Fine, we'll figure out a shit for you to be able to do it.
Right.
I had the ability to work for 4 months, but I'm going to stop before the end of the year. We would love that opportunity to get you work with us. So that those are things that we're working through right now.
Yeah. Now, is this all the impact of COVID-19, or is it bigger than that? Is it that, okay, the healthcare field at this particular time of the year, you gear up because, you know, the kids are going back to school. They're going to start transferring germs back and forth. This is the time of year that, you know, pharmacists love because it's the busy time when everybody has got something that they're getting an antibiotic for or a breathing treatment for or things like that. Is it that plus COVID, or is it just, look, we're in a shortage? And come on, Ken, we've been in a shortage of nurses for 30-40 years. I know that. I was in the medical field for 18 years, and that was a little while. I left it in 1990, but
worse since 2014.
It's a question of degree.
Okay.
To your point, yes, this is an amalgamation of a number of different factors right now that are sending this crisis, may be a little bit too harsh of a word, but sending this into a very, very tough time terrain for us.
We've got a potential mess coming down the road.
Yes, sir.
That's maybe the way to say it. Here's another thing that's important. Let me tell you, so people understand how it's impacting it. I have a patient of mine that make a long story short, he's got a 90% blockage of three vessels of his heart. He's got unstable angina, has to be bypassed, cannot do any intravascular procedure. He needs bypass, all right? This guy is in trouble, all right? Potential trouble. And we're doing all the things we can to keep. But all elective surgeries have been canceled. He can't have his surgery. And this is a man that's a potential.
He's a time bomb.
I don't know if, yeah.
He's just a time bomb. Come on.
But the risk is high for this gentleman.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And we'll do what we can to. But the nursing shortage has affected this. This is down to earth. Patient care. You know what I mean?
Okay, but one of the things about the practice is that you are trying to make sure that patients take care, better care of themselves, so their need for hospitalization, their need for the services that Ken and his group are expert and professionals at, is vastly reduced. I mean, isn't that part of the equation also, is that, you know, people need to take better care of themselves, and they really need to be cautious at this time, because when you go in to order that hot dog and you know they're going to be out of hot dogs, you're not going to get a hot dog that day. So if you've got needs as a person with some medical issues going on and you haven't taken good care of yourself, there may not be that opportunity for them to help you in the best way possible.
And therein is, you know, regardless of political nature or anything along those lines, therein is part of the strategy for the things that we've been talking about for a long time: social distancing, masking, you know, making sure that you're washing your hands, and all of those are a way to elongate the potential spread and the potential infection, to allow hospitals and healthcare providers to staff up and meet the need at a smaller spike than something that's extremely intense. And so that's what we've been working on, trying to do that.
Terry, let me put you real simple. All right, this friend of mine who ended up having something bad happen, all right? So, and he's gem care and should have gone to Dignity, all right? And there's no beds available. There's no nurses to look after the bed or look after the patient in the bed.
Yeah.
All right, so we shipped him out to UCLA, all right? Now, this case, all right, is going to cost over $1 million. And that's okay. Gem care is going to pay it, all right?
Yeah, sure.
But here's what's wrong. We just lost $1 million that should have stayed in this county.
Right.
Is going to go to UCLA. All right? And I'm not against UCLA. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But that $1 million of revenue, now we can't do $1 million for nursing and things in our county to help.
Right.
It's $1 million less to help all sorts of things in gem care. This is hurting us locally. Mm-hmm. Do you follow what I'm saying?
No. The plea is for people with degrees out there in the healthcare field, that if you've got extra time, you've got extra hours, if you've been retired, if you've been away from this particular profession for a while, you know, your community needs you right now. Ken and his people need you. Every hospital is looking for people that can fill in the gaps, because there are going to be gaps.
You know, my appeal to people listening right now, if you've got family or friends or you're one of these care providers, all right? Now, if you want to do something for your community, I want you to call up Memorial or any hospital. I don't care which hospital in town, all right? It's across all hospitals. Say, listen, I want to see if I can help. And talk to them and see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause one day a week, they'll do it. They'll work. And now they are more than interested to help you get back into the system. Number two, they'll bend their back to make it work for you. And you will help this community tremendously. Now let's talk about just a few things that are important. All right?
Let's take a break and then go to those important things. I want to give Ken an opportunity to do that begging that he promised he was going to do later. So okay. We'll be right back.
There's only one. AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR. News, trap, weather, and the best local news team. We will rock you. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Back, everybody. I hope you've been enjoying this conversation and one that is appealing to your sense of morals and your sense of community, because this is something that we all have to kind of work together on. We can solve this, but there's elements. Dr. Mensing and Ken Keller speak from the healthcare side, and I speak from the person who is looking for healthcare to better my physical being, and when I have problems, and I am begging people to take care of yourselves, to do the things that you know are necessary for you to avoid getting sick and getting good rest. All the things that you already know about, and Dr. Mensing laid out very nicely in the first part of this what he recommends for you to have a strong immune system to avoid getting COVID-19 and, quite frankly, getting so many other things. I haven't been this healthy in years. It's like I got this stupid summer cold, and I was surprised, and I wasn't prepared for it. But Dr. Mensing, there's some things that you want to go over, and then Ken, I want you to also talk a little bit about kind of a wrapping it up for us on, sure. on what's necessary.
Why don't we have Ken go ahead first, because I want to end with some things that me.
Whose program do you think this is?
Yours.
I'm just kidding. Ken, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to come back to, most people know that I do a basic. I have three things.
Right.
The first is, to your point, for the community at large, stay safe and be well. Do those elements to try to make sure and maintain your own health. Secondly, for those care providers that are out there that are not working or may have an opportunity, consider calling ourselves, Mercy, Adventist Health, one of the other.
Give us the number.
Who's looking at me?
Look at Memorial.
Do you know what Albert Einstein said when somebody asked him what his phone number was? He went to get a phone book. They said, you don't even know your own phone number? He goes, I never memorize anything I can look up.
I don't call myself.
I didn't mean to embarrass you.
327-4647 is the hospital main line that can direct you. So, consider, even if it's for a short term, to get over the next 6 months is going to be a very critical thing for us. And then third ends up, what are ways that we can continue to work together to meet the needs of the community and do that in partnership with the community at large, the healthcare providers, those other social service organizations as well?
I look at this, Terry and Ken, I suppose. Help your community, all right? Call Memorial Hospital. Call any of the hospitals. This is across the board. It's not only Memorial. Every hospital is facing this. And now is the time if you want to do it. Now, I want to talk a little bit more, and this is me talking. This is not Ken. This is not Terry Maxwell. This is me talking. But I want to talk about what we can do about it, all right? And I want to literally make an appeal to the governor, all right? Where we go from here, because we're in potential dire trouble, all right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to sugarcoat it. Now, there's several things. Number one is, and these are generic things, you know, down the road, but, you know, federal and state subsidies for programs, loan forgiveness, all that kind of stuff we're working on and being done. All right? But here's the biggest issue that's facing our nursing shortage right now, from my perspective. And I have people, doctors, I have had a pharmacist, I have care people coming to me saying, Jan, you need to talk about this, all right? Here's what's happening that we have not addressed so far, all right? There's a certain element of people out there that are scared of the vaccines. Now, I'm not against vaccines, all right? I've said that many times, but they're scared of these vaccines. And there's potential issues. I'm not here to minimize that. All right, but here's the problem that is cutting a major issue. Number one, we have September 30th is the date that the governor has said everybody in healthcare has to be vaccinated or, you know, be tested every week. All right. Now, the first thing, if you're scared about that, listen carefully. There's an election between now and September 30th that maybe Newsom will not be there and this will be changed. All right.
Right.
Number two, I think the way we are right now, there's so much vaccine hesitancy among the healthcare providers. Okay. They're not going to come. I don't care what I say or what Ken says. They're not going to come because they're scared of the vaccine mandate. Okay. Rightly or wrongly. This is not a right or wrong issue.
They don't have to be scared of it. They can just disagree with it.
Okay. But rightly or wrongly. But now here's what I'm saying is you've got until September 30th, all right, before this is done. And there's a good chance if the governor's recalled, mm-hmm. all right, that this will go away. Number two is that if we have, I would strongly encourage, all right, if you're, we agree that we should IgGM and IgG test our healthcare providers. And then for IgG positive, IgM negative, that means they've had COVID, you can't give it to me, and I can't get it from you. Exclude these people from the vaccine mandate.
Right.
All right?
Right.
There's no need for it. All right.
Right.
And the evidence is very coming up, very sure that this is the right way to go. The next thing I would say to Governor Newsom, all right, by doing what you're doing, these people aren't going to change. And you've got bad advice, I think bad counselors that aren't cluing you in, Governor Newsom, about the impact of this group of people that are really anti-vaxxers and won't do this. And you're going to screw the health system potentially. And we're going to have major troubles. Let's hold off on the vaccine mandate. Let's make some changes so we can avert a disaster mm-hmm. potentially down the road. Now, we're not at the disaster now. But if we would do this, I would say, Governor Newsom, get some different ideas, other opinions. Because I'm afraid, and I'm not against vaccines, Terry, you know that, but the problem is this vaccine fear is not going to be solved by nothing I say. It's not going to be solved by mm-hmm. anything that Ken Keller says or what you say. We need to work around that because right now we have literally hundreds and probably thousands of nurses in this town, care providers that could help. And these people are coming to you and won't do it because they're afraid of the vaccine mandate.
Yeah.
And we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot. And that's my appeal to Governor Newsom. Let's back off a bit until we can sort this out because we're shooting ourselves
in the foot. Let me just remind him one thing. 99.9% of the people who get COVID-19 survive.
Especially if you're under age 60.
99.9%. That's putting it in perspective. Why scare it? Why eliminate all these people as possible employees when that's what the statistics are? Ken, great to see you again. Always a lot of fun. Thank Dr. Mensing, always great to have you on.
It's been fun. And listen, just one more comment. If you're out there, you're in the healthcare field, the hospitals are willing to help.
We're done.